AOA continues here today from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association Cattle Convention in New Orleans, Louisiana. We've been talking today about the intersection between corn and cattle and the partnership that that has created and the global reach that has created in moving American products around the world. And that's what we want to end the show with, looking at that export potential. Joining us now is Dean Meyer. He's chairman of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, Rock Rapids, Iowa boy, cattle, hogs, corn, and soybean producer. Dean, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks, Mike. It's been great to be here and looking forward to the conversation.
You know, I want to kick it off. Dean, you are a farmer from Iowa. Why in the world did you get involved with the U.S. Meat Export Federation? What value does that have to you on the ground?
Excellent question. As a producer of corn, cattle, soybeans, and pork, with 96% of the population living outside the borders of this country and the fastest growing middle class internationally, international markets are going to be a key to our future. And raising corn, raising cattle, that's the combination that makes us the highest quality product in the world. And we want to put that on the world's table. And that's what the world desires. I mean, with a growing middle class, they want protein, they want high quality protein. And what better market can we fill but taking cattle to their markets and taking the high quality cattle carcasses.
Absolutely. And Dean, as we look back at the results in 2022 on the meat export side, it looks like that growing middle class stepped up to the plate and they made some purchases here of U.S. protein. It looked like we're going to see record exports this last year.
Yeah, it's exciting, the international cattle beef sales. After 21, we had a record year in 21, and little did we know that 22 would be a better year yet. We're gonna touch close to $12 billion worth of product on the beef side, and that's $450 every carcass. Each time I load out cattle from my feedlot, I think of that $450 is attributed to international beef sales.
That's incredible. That's just what the demand on the global market, that's the pressure, the upward price pressure it puts on domestic beef prices, putting dollars into the pockets of American cattlemen and corn producers. And Dean, this is something I think we don't talk enough about. When we're saying record beef exports, that's another way to move a lot of corn off our shores, isn't it?
That's exactly right. Selling red meat is good for corn producers because it's the number one market. I mean, livestock's the number one market for corn, and if we can move more red meat, it's a win-win for the corn. And 12%, to the tune of 12% of the value of the bushel. So if corn's $7, that's 85 cents. It adds to a bushel of corn just marketing red meat.
That is real money. And then when you see how that corn works inside a beef animal to create that meat, I mean, as a corn-fed beef fan myself, I'm a huge proponent. And Dean, I understand you had the opportunity to travel back in September to Japan, which has long been a premier destination for U.S. corn-fed beef. Are the Japanese excited to continue that going forward?
Japanese market is a mature market. It's an exciting market. We always hear how the demographics is aging and they're not going to buy as much and they continue to buy more. It's because of the product we sell, the corn-fed U.S. high-quality product, and they continue to buy more and more of it. And not only the primal cuts, but the variety cuts and the variety meats, and that's what really adds value.
We don't think about the variety meats as Americans very often. We don't see them on our plates. But Dean, as you mentioned, they add value. That's substantial value, isn't it?
To the tune of $60 a head is what variety meats add to the carcass of a beef.
Of that $450 value that exports add, 60 of that is variety meats. 60, am I getting that right?
60 is variety meats, and $18 alone, it comes from tongues sent to Japan.
Wow.
I mean, the Japanese buy over 20 million tongues from us a year. 90% of our tongues go there, and it adds $18 value to every carcass we market here.
That's incredible. When you think of beef tongues, that's a premium product I just recently learned in Japan, isn't it?
It is. I mean, that's the place to eat it. If you're going to eat tongue, go to Japan and eat it. They know how to do it.
Interesting. When we think about variety meats, for a lot of folks who are outside the cattle business and they are tuning in today, what are some of the variety meats, Dean, that we're moving overseas?
Examples of the variety meats are the tongues, the liver, the heart, the tripe, and then there's some of the underutilized cuts, the chuck and some of that we're able to market in a variety of countries. And another thing, we talk about Japan, but the key to the success of USMEF is it's broad-based. I mean, we're in markets all over the world. We've got 18 offices around the world, and that's the key is you don't, you, 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 sell the carcass in the market where it has the most value. You know, whether that's the Middle East, whether that's Japan, whether that's South America.
And Dean, in your experience, when you're working with those carcasses that have the most value, I've got to imagine it tends to be the grain finished cattle carcasses, doesn't it?
That's what's really selling our product, is the grain finished. And we're promoting that more and more, and the success rate of that's been phenomenal. That's why our sales were where they were in 21 and 22, is because, you know, we're the highest producer of grain-fed product in the world.
Absolutely. Well, Dean, as an Iowa cattle producer, of course, you're at that intersection of corn production and cattle growth. Are you excited about 2023 here as we look to the future in this volatile cattle industry?
I am. There's going to be huge opportunity there. There's always challenges. We know numbers are going to be down, but it gives us the opportunity to sell them variety meats, them underutilized cuts. Since they're grain-fed, they're higher quality than anywhere else in the world, even the underutilized cuts. And then with China emerging from COVID and changing their COVID policies, you know, 6 weeks ago, their food service is opening up. We think there's a huge opportunity there the second half of 2023 with the food service in China.
Because food service in China basically has been shut down for almost 3 years, hasn't it?
It's been shuttered. And look at the product we've sold in there with shuttered food service. We think there's going to be a revenge buying coming back. When those people can go back and go out to eat again, there's going to be opportunity there.
All right, Dean, anything producers ought to be doing now to prepare for that return of the Chinese buyer? Should we be loading up on some feeder calves?
Well, continue to produce the high quality product. I think, you know, there's going to be opportunity. Let's not get down on the numbers or where we're at in the cycle. I think there's going to be a huge opportunity ahead.
There's going to be huge opportunity ahead. Folks, I think that is a great place to end today's episode. We have been talking with Dean Meyer, chair of the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Dean, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Mike. It's been good to be here.
Folks, tune in tomorrow to AOA. We'll be broadcasting from the Christian Hansen booth. And if you are on the grounds in New Orleans, come by the Learning Lounge tomorrow at 12:30. From 12:30 to 1:30, we'll have this meat export conversation right here in New Orleans. We'll see you then. Thanks for listening, everybody.